Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and Straight Talk with the Guys in the Community.
Hey, welcome to Soft Web Radio. I am your host, Rad, and I have a special guest today, former Special Operation Combat Controller of the United States Air Force, Connor the Controller Matthews. Matthews. And I say Matthews twice because that's a professional ring announcer's way that they introduce you into the ring and boxing. And Connor, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man? It's nice seeing you. I haven't seen you in a long time. I haven't seen you since 2016, I believe, when we did that Soft Rev boxing event in London. Hey, man, pleasure seeing you. How's it going, brother?
Oh, you know, it's great, Connor. I'm happy to have you here. I was just talking with someone about you on another episode, Mike LaMonica, who's from the Special Operations, your same Special Operations community. Have you ever crossed paths with Mike before?
Yeah.
You have, yeah. Former combat controller.
I don't think we ever crossed paths in person, but I've talked to him recently. Yesterday, he's the head of the Combat Control Association, I believe. And we've been talking, been communicating a lot lately. And yeah, but I knew who he was. It's a name that you 100%. Care about in the Deerfield stuff.
Yeah, you know, he's got like, you know, lots of ribbons. He's a really nice guy to talk to, just like yourself. Yeah. Hey, you know, I know I've talked to you in the past, but let me ask you something. Do you have any like specific ribbons that you're really proud of achieving on your rack of ribbons that you wear?
Probably I got a combination medal when I was deployed to Afghanistan for a mission that I did. That was pretty cool that I did a lot of air traffic control and I did a lot of, we got a medevac out of there. We did lots of stuff like that. That's about it. Combat, I got a combat ribbon because I just saw combat in Afghanistan. So that was pretty cool, but not too much. I mean, my friends have so many more ribbons than me. I did one deployment to Afghanistan, and which I'm grateful I got to do something. I got lucky. Right. But at the same time, not comparatively to like a lot of my friends, but like You know what I mean? Yeah, Apprentice did a lot of amazing things.
There's probably some silver stars out there.
Multiple six deployments.
Yeah, dude.
Like, yeah, so many, like, so many friends have silver stars, purple hearts, and
oh yeah,
and all this stuff. And so yeah, not too much, but you know, I got to get out there.
Right, and I'm sure that you've lost some friends along the way. You have a very, you know, high speed job, and it is Memorial Day weekend for those of you listening.
Yeah,
so
RIP, man. So like, for talk about that, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I remember when I was going through selection and training, we got done with the combat control school, and the commandant says, he's like, you know, look around you. You guys probably lose one or two of these friends that are here with you. And we did lose guys that were in training, you know. And it's either in training or I lost a friend in combat, I lost a friend in training, and I lost a friend to an accident. So it's like wild that I remember after that, my mom was all like, that sounds like, you know, she's all scared. That sounds, but it didn't happen. So, you know what I mean? Like, this job is very dangerous. That job was not this job, but my last job was a very, very dangerous life where people's lives are at risk, not only in deployments, but on training to deploy. And, you know, I lost a lot of good friends, saw a lot of people, like, even before me in my career field. We lost a lot while I was in there. I think six members while I was in, you know what I mean? And it's a small knit, it's a close-knit community. So everybody knows somebody, everybody knows each other. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something. Rest in peace to all those people.
Yeah, rest in peace to them. There's only about, like, 300 combat controllers, right?
Yeah.
At a time.
I think we're a little bit more than that now, like five. I think when I was going through, remember 500 was the number we would hear, but I think it's probably up to like 600, 700 now, 800 maybe. But yeah, like, that's not a lot of people when you really get down to it. You know what I mean? When it comes to like guys who are actually on team compared to guys who are instructors, guys that are administrative, they, you know, like that breaks up real fast, and you really have a core group of guys that are deployable, and you know, like everybody knows everybody. That's just the way it is.
Right, and that's why I'm going to segue into what I'm wearing right now, which is your MMA mixed martial arts shirt right here. Connor, the controller, Matthews. I'm just so excited to say it because I know you, and I got to wear your shirt. I'm here in Utah. You're in Massachusetts. We've traveled to London together, and I'm super proud to be in your corner and just cheer you on and use soft rep to perpetuate that out there, bro. I want the person that you're going to fight to know that you're ready and you're in my corner. So stoked for you. Tell me about
it. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, man, soft rep's been great. Like, ever since that whole boxing thing, like, I was just saying, like, earlier, like, you guys actually came up with my nickname, the Controller. I don't know if people really know that. When I was in London, I did that boxing fight. I got there, and I saw, like, they had the, I don't know, the flyer, whatever it is.
The big yellow poster.
It says Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's Connor, the Controller, Connor, the Controller, Matthews. And I was like, that is awesome nickname. And yeah, I went home, and when I started fighting professional, I started one with the controller, and I really think it's cool. It worked out great. So thank you, Soft Rep, for coming up with that name for me. And you know, it's awesome.
You earned that name. Now, you're also 5-0 in your professional fight. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm 5-0. So I have five wins, all first round finishes right now. It's been actually, I feel like I should have a lot more fights than I have right now. The pandemic really put it through a wrench and everything. I've been having problems with getting fights. I have a fight scheduled like a week before certain opponent gets hurt or whatever reason they pulled out of the fight.
Out.
So I had to make for my last three fights. And then I got to get these guys to fill in that weren't as good as my original opponent. So that, you know, the UFC wants to see me fighting good guys. So that's been a problem of mine. Is like, I want to get to the next level and fight good guys. And eventually I got my contender series shot. I'm fighting on the contender series. So I'm really, really super excited about this. Like, I know somebody's going to show up to fight me on the contender series. I know I'm not going to fall out.
Oh, yeah, it's a fight.
And, you know, I'm fighting in front of Dana White. And,
yeah,
you know, if I get my big knockout, that's my style.
Yeah.
I knock people out. I hope I'm going to get that contract, man.
Your one fight that was like a 7 or 17 second knockout in the first round, there was like a little swing kick to the leg.
Seven, yes.
Yeah, a little kick to the leg, and you know, he pulled away from you. You're just like testing each other, and next thing you know, bam, dude, and he's down, bro.
Yeah, that was my first professional MMA fight at a 7 second knockout. Yeah, he caught me the leg kick, kind of threw me off balance for a second.
Yeah.
And then I think he saw me off balance, so he thought that he was just going to be able to step in, hit me with the hand, and I caught myself, step back, hit him with the right hand, put him down. So,
yeah,
that was a good one. I'll take those, you get them, you know what I mean? Not too much damage, or I didn't take any damage, but, you know, any fights like that where you don't take damage, you win, you get the win. It's not a bad fight. Yeah,
So being in the combat controller lifestyle and being so trained up like a, you know, extreme athlete that you are just for that job, right? Let alone fast roping out of, you know, helicopters, probably Halo. You're probably jumping out of airplanes, Halo, you know, free fall, like we see, you know, from 30,000 feet. Are you wearing oxygen masks when you do that and stuff?
Yeah, I believe everything above 13,000 feet you have to wear oxygen for. So I have done quite a few of those. My team that I was on is we were training up to be like a jump style team at one point. So we did a lot of jump schools and hey ho and all that stuff. So yeah, I got to do all that stuff.
What's hey ho? High altitude, high opening.
Yeah, high altitude, high opening. So okay. That's probably if you were ever going to actually use this stuff in real life, and you know, we're going to do a mission using. I like it just you're going to use a hey-ho instead of a halo. You know what I mean? So hey-ho gives the ability of the team to jump out. You're not going to spread out. So if a plane's flying and you're, you know, they're skydiving, you're going to spread out all the people. You're going to want to everybody to jump close, open up, find each other. And then you can land down at a location, depending on how far you have to go, all together as a team. So that's what we usually use.
You're just traveling kind of like, you know, so you have to know – what, airspeed?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're basically now piloting.
All that. Yeah. It's basically, yeah, everything you need to know to fly a plane, except you don't have all the instruments. I mean, you have a guy who's like the navigator, but everybody needs to be kind of like a navigator.
Right.
It's cold as hell up there. It's not, it's easy to imagine in the middle of the summer in the desert. It's cold. You know what I mean? I remember a couple of my first time I was doing it. I had like small gloves on because I'm so used to halo where you can jump up from that altitude and you land down and you're fine because you know you're up in the cold for not that long. But you do a hey-ho and you're sitting up there. I got down to the ground. My hands were so cold, like I couldn't even take off my parachute.
Oh,
so, yeah. It's fun, man.
So
it's
cold.
Just good stuff.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So like, they would drop you out and then you would just pop open pretty quick and then you guys just sail into whatever target that you're supposed to drop zone on. Wow. Very stealth.
I mean, there's definitely an art to it because, you know, not everybody goes down at the same, the same speed. So like, you know, somebody who's heavier is always going to is going to be faster than somebody who's lighter. So there's a lot of like, you know, we can find your parachute on the way down to keep everybody together.
Now,
taking yes turns so people don't spread out. You don't want to get too close where you're bumping into people. There's a lot to it. It's like, it's kind of a cool mission set. You know what I mean? Being able to jump out. That's like really a lot of teamwork. You know what I mean? It's like jumping out of the plane, working together to make sure we land together. You know, if you jump, say you're in a real life mission, you jump out, you lose a guy. Now the mission's totally different. You're not going to go out there to accomplish mission you actually went out to do. Your next mission is how do we get our guy back? So it's a really high risk situation. So it's pretty cool.
Recovery.
And all that kind of training.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
So you do night jumps?
Yeah.
Is that a normal thing for you guys, is night jumps?
Yeah, I think we only, like, besides just training to kind of, you're not going to jump into anywhere during the day, so everything we did was night.
So are you wearing the highest night vision? Yeah, night vision goggles, MVGs, that's what I'm asking. Is like, you wearing those while you're jumping?
Yeah. When we were training, we used PBS 31s. I don't know what they use nowadays, but they have some. Hey, it seems like coming out new shit every all the time.
Oh, yeah,
so
we got a pair of
we had 31s, which are white phosphorus. They were smaller. They're nice. But, I mean, yeah, we had to do a lot of jumps before. And I think the rules have changed now. Like, we weren't allowed to jump with MVGs initially. So you did all your training jumps with no MVGs, jumping in pitch black at night in the middle of the desert. Nobody has MVGs. The only thing people have on are little chem lights and glow sticks. So when you open up your parachute, all you see is like chem lights flying around the sky. It's terrifying. You don't want to get a ding on stuff.
Oh,
but once we got on team, we got trained up on the MVGs. Because when you're jumping with MVGs, you don't want to, it's a high risk of getting your parachute entangled. So when you're falling, your parachute opens up. You can swing over the front of your MVG to pull up your helmet and get entangled, and you get a malfunction, and that's terrible. So it's a lot of like stuff you have to do to make sure that doesn't happen, staying stable, blocking your MVGs, and then pulling your parachute. And so there's like, we had to get trained up to that before we went out and go do it. So yeah, it was cool. Once you got MVGs though, it's so much better. Now it's just like jumping at dead. You know what I mean? You can see everybody around you. It's actually probably easier.
The guy that wrote the manual for put your arm in front of your MVGs just in case. That guy,
right?
You know, he's like, you know, Bill said he should put his arm up because he got tangled. That's amazing. You know, there's so much going on inside your mind. You're such a high speed athlete. So you're trained up, you're coiled up, you're really proficient at swimming. And some of your background, you grew up like on the coast or surfing, right?
Yeah, I live like, you know, I'm less than a mile away from the water. So being in the ocean around the ocean has always been like a big part of my lifestyle, surfing.
And that's a huge part of combat controller is the water, right? And the water portion. And how did you train up? Tell the high school kid listening right now who wants to do a combat controller, wants to be the next Connor Matthews, what should he prepare for? Water-wise, everything.
All right, so never mind. You have to be a runner. You have to be an athlete. You know what I mean? You have to be very good at running. Not just like, okay, you have to be a good runner. Now, things have changed since I've gone through. You have to be a good runner. So I got that first. I was an MMA fighter, so I was always a cardio athlete and a hockey player, so that was fine. Like I said, I was really comfortable in the ocean getting thrashed around because I just was surfed my entire life when I was a kid. So, you know, I've had big surf days when you go out there and you're like kind of scared and you're just getting comfortable and getting thrashed around, getting held under. I've had that happen to me. So that was okay. But that long distance swimming, that was not my thing. I'm kind of like a bowling ball. That's what they used to call me in the day. So I'm 5'8". I'm not as tall as people think. Sometimes I'm 5'8". I'm short. And I just kind of, you know, I'm not the greatest swimmer. So what I did is I hired a high school swim coach too. So, you know, so I'd go in there twice a week and she would help me with my, you know, my technique of swimming. And I helped out a ton. It took minutes off my time. You know what I mean? And I think this with everything is like, whenever you're going to learn something, people are just going to try to figure it out. You should probably just get to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing and pick up what you can get, you know, from that and to make your life a little bit easier. So that's what I did. I hired a swim coach. You know, and she helped me out a ton, took bits off my time. And then I was telling you, once I got to the pipeline, I had to pass my test. But once you pass your test, you got fins after that. And you give me fins and I'm fine. I can swim. You know, I was just kicking.
All day.
The hockey player, strong legs, I just kick. So, but yeah, I had to do that. I'm not the greatest swimmer, but, you know, I just got enough, got that far, got that down. And, you know, and that's all that matters. I'm comfortable. I could be in the water all day. So
you're a Massachusetts kid, right? You grew up. Massachusetts is your place, right?
Yep, South Coast, Mass, and Rhode Island, between those two places. Mostly Mass, but like I went to school and everything in Massachusetts, but my grandparents in Rhode Island, which is a big, right on the Newport, Rhode Island. They have like a lot of waves, a good beach town. So that's where I really did a lot of my surfing growing up. So,
oh, we want to give them a shout out, dude.
We have cool.
Corner. We want Massachusetts in your corner, bro. That's why you're the son of Massachusetts.
Oh, we got Mass all day.
All day on him, right there on that bicep, bro.
Massachusetts. 18 years old, yeah.
That's what's up. See? So that's what I'm saying. There's something about you back east guys that have just this like no nonsense, like, you know, I've handled some hard climate or something, and you guys are fighters, bro, and you can take it to the streets and to the mat. What do you think about that?
I totally hear that. And that's just like, there's so many like fighters from New England and Massachusetts specifically that are like known for like just being having hearts of lions and like wars. Like if you look at Calvin Kattar, you look at Rob Font, you look at Joe Lozon, the UFC fighters that I know, Kyle Bochniak, all these guys are known for like being gritty. Like they're just technical fighters, but they're like, you know, like when shit gets bad, they just bite down the mouthpiece and they put on boards and they don't give up and they don't quit. I don't know. I think it's the cold. I think it's just we're miserable all the time, so we're used to that shit. So we just keep pushing through it. You got to really want it to be a fucking fighter in Massachusetts because it's sucky. It's cold.
You know, that's funny you say that because I'm thinking of the movie Rocky, right? And he trains in the snow to be hardcore with logs on his shoulders and he's just like trudging through the snow. And that's Rocky, bro. So I look at you. I want you to be that, dude. I want MMA, Chris Matthews statues in Massachusetts. You know what I'm saying?
There's one up in the North End. It's funny. There's a good boxing in North End of Boston. There's a boxing statue of a guy. So, yeah. Hey, that's them back in the day, too. They call like the city of Brockton around there, City of Champions. We just have those that kind of people around there. So it's pretty cool. I like it. Philadelphia is one of those cities as well. You know what I mean? They're very similar to that. So.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Now, when you joined the Air Force after high school, you're a pretty determined individual. You're doing martial arts. You're pretty straight-laced. You're not doing anything that's going to keep you from passing any piss test or anything like that. So you're focused. What was it that made you go combat controller? Was it a friend, or did you just say, hey, this is a job that I wanted, or were you going to be a crew chief and you got pulled in through basic?
No, so I actually wanted to be a Navy SEAL. That's the only job, like I said, like nobody knows a combat controller. Everybody knows the Navy SEAL, me including as a kid. I was like, that was badass. So I started, you know, thinking about that. And when I went to the Navy recruiter, he was like, he did not like want to put me in as a SEAL. He's like, you got to go do this. And he just kept on saying, like, we got this other job for you. So once you get it, you can do this job. Then you can cross train to be a SEAL. And I'm like, I don't think about it. So I went across the hall, talked to the Air Force recruiter. So this guy, John Morris, great guy. He still talk to him today. So he's like, hey, man, I got this. He's like, I have this job, PJ. They're pushing pararescue. I was like, all right, I'll look into that. It looks cool. It looks like they do a lot of the same things Navy SEALs do. I started jumping. I started, you know, I started diving. I started all that. I was like, medical sounds pretty cool. So I started training for that job. And then when they had the pass test, there's a couple guys that I took it with, and they were supposed to have slots to go before me for combat control. So I passed that. I did really, really good on the test. The kid in front of me didn't do as well. So they got a slot opened up. And then, so that was like, all right, so I can kind of get to go sooner then. And then the guy goes to me, he goes, hey man, do you want to save people or do you want to kill people? This is a combat controller that was there that was given and administrated the test. And I was like, I guess I want to kill people. And he's just like, all right, I'm putting you as a CCT. And I was like, all right, I had no idea. Not one, like no idea what a combat controller did. I got home, looked it up a little bit, and I was like, all right, they dive, they jump. I don't know what air traffic control was. I had no idea at this point. Like high school kid, graduated high school, fought, worried about fighting and stuff, like when the ATC towers were at airport. But so I got in there and, you know, I ended up taking the job and I'm so happy I did because it was the coolest job, coolest community, you know, got to do a lot of things that a lot of people that have in the military don't get the opportunity to do. And happy I did it.
On the government, you know, dime, it's almost a little bit of a fun trip for you because you probably like to work out. You don't mind running. Let me ask you about the swimming, though.
Yep.
I'm obsessed with that because I'm not the strongest swimmer, although if I have fins, so I do laps at my local pool, but fins help me tons.
Yep.
So do you have to dive underwater the full length of the pool back and forth on one breath? Is that a thing you had to achieve?
Yeah, that's a 50 meter underwater. That was one of the requirements to pass through. You don't have that for us. We didn't have to do it initially to get into the job, like I think some people do. We just had to do 25 meters, a couple of 25 meters to get in. Yeah. But like, you should be able to do 50s because once you get down to NDOC and you get down to for selection and all that kind of stuff, I mean, you're doing stuff that's a lot harder than one back and forth. You're getting drown proofed, you're getting thrusted. So it's like, you know, that's like the minimum standard for a lot of the pass tests to get into the job. Like you should be able to do like, that's like not even, that's, you're going to do that on your worst day. Like that's easy. It's the training. And no, maybe they can't eliminate you for, you know, popping into other things, but like you're not going to make it eventually, I feel like. So we had to do one of our standards to go to dive school is to do a 50 meter underwater, which initially I remember 25 being like, all right, that's kind of hard.
I mean, my dad growing up, being the son of a Green Beret, we'd go up to Hill Air Force Base and he would do his laps all day long, but he'd take us kids to the pool, me and my brother. And there was these weights and he'd reach down on the side of the pool. He's like, okay, Aaron, put your blindfold on, but first watch where these weights go. And he'd throw them off the edge down into like the 5-6 foot area for me, but he'd throw them off into the 12 foot for my brother who was older. My brother was really good at going down 12 feet blindfolded and finding those damn weights. But here's me like trying to get into 5 foot water and I'm just... It's tough water. So you need to be water ready, almost probably drown proof before you join. And like you said, get a coach. You got a lady that was a high school coach. Do you remember her name? You want to give her a shout out because you're going to be the best MMA fighter in the world.
I wish I could remember her name off the top of my head. And I can't right
She'll
now.
She'll remember you. She'll be like, oh.
I have talked to her since a couple times. I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
If
but
only
I have
she knew.
To her since at the time, but like, because like, honestly, she helped me in my life. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. Somebody like that as a high school. It's like, if I didn't get good at swimming because of her, I never would have made it to be a combat controller. And then I probably would never came back to fighting the way I did. So it's just like crazy. These little people that you connected and bumped into that like projected your life in a certain way. You never know that's happening when it's happening, but you like look back to that person. And be like,
that's
wow,
what I'm saying. That's what I was
saying. That person's the right plan. It's incredible, you know what I mean? There's a couple people out there that really helped me out. Like my sensei when I was a kid, like just his mentality. Like I swear to God, before I even went into special operations, we did belt tests growing up as a kid, His name is Sensei John Morondo. And we did belt tests. And our belt test was like a hell day for selection. So it's like, I was like already doing, like, I didn't really look at it like that when I was a kid, but like, when we were covering PVC pipes, we're doing hill sprints. He gave me my black belt this year and I had to take another test for him. And I was like, I was doing the test. I'm like, some of this stuff's kind of harder than some of the stuff I was doing in the military at one point. He crushes us with like physical stuff. And then he makes us fight in the sand on the beach with each other. He did it. So he took a sand hill. He lined up a whole bunch of people from the gym. And I started at the bottom, and I had to fight my way through every single person to get to the top. And I had to do that like two times. I'm like, that's hard. You know what I mean? So I was like, it was pretty cool. Like, he tried to train my brain before I even got into the military.
And you had to engage each person, right? You couldn't like skirt them and do a little shuffle. No, you had to engage each person.
I had to take everybody. I think he made it especially hard for me. For everything that I've been through. And then, so I had to do that test, all right, all day test. You wake up, I think you get there at like 7, all day test until like 2 or something, 2 or 3. And, we're doing a ton. He basically destroys every muscle in the body, like a possible way he can. And then he brings you to a beach, you do all these beach workouts, fighting people on the beach, crying, going down. And then I was exhausted. Then at night, I had to spar Rob Font to get him ready. So Rob Font's number 4 or 5 in the world, the 135 division. And I had to go fight him. So, and the UFC cameras were there watching, filming for his thing. I was like, I got to do good. I mean, they still showed every video of me possibly getting punched in the face by Rob Font.
Of course.
It was funny, but it was cool though. I was like, I was smoked and I was like, I still got to go do this too. So it was a really good, and that's when I did. I got my black belt that day. So it was a pretty cool day for me.
Hi, folks. This is Sean Spoons, Editor-in-Chief of SoftRep.com. Just here to say thank you for listening to the SoftRep Radio Podcast. We sure appreciate you giving us your time. And here's a special offer for you if you're a new member. 50% off your annual membership to SoftRep. Just click the link at the bottom of the page that brought you to us today. And from all of us here at SoftRep, thank you for listening.
So do you think that with going through all of that and going through your combat training and being drown proof has brought you to this no tap out lifestyle where you're going to get in the ring and you're going to give it everything until, there's only one way out for you, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the career field, just hard, like you said, the drown proofing, the hard, like I was talking about, but just even jiu-jitsu, like if I'm wrestling and grappling with somebody who's way bigger than me, sometimes you get stuck in these positions where you want to like panic and freak out and you know what I mean? You want to get, but like I've just been in those stressful situations so much and know how to remain calm, like be comfortable being comfortable. It sounds corny, but like, you know what I mean? Like be comfortable being uncomfortable. It's true though. It's like that. I think that's my biggest like superpower I have in fighting right now. And like everybody there now thinks that I just finished people in 1 minute and what's he going to do when he goes past 1 minute? What, where is he at? I'm like, no, man, I'm trained for like the long haul. Like when his shit gets hard, that's when I actually perform better. I think long rucks and all this stuff I did that was just painful. I used to do really well. And there's anything that was like a grindy kind of exercise is like, that's where I rise up. So I think that being a combat controller and all that is what 100% what got me mentally as tough as I am. And that's why I got where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say there's not going to be another, opponent that's training as hard as you equally, which is what I want anyone that's listening right now, if they're going to do their research on you and hear that, you're ready, bro. Like, they're better come with their game to you because you're coming with yours.
1,000%. And so like I took 6 years off, from training as a martial artist, making that my thing. But before, I've been training martial arts since I was like 4, So I have a lot of that time, just as a kid, getting comfortable in that. Took the 6 years off, where usually people are fighting in their 60s, and then that period between their 22, I think I was 21 and 27, 21 and 27 is when I was in the military.
Yeah.
And people are usually, that's the hardest time to fight, so they take a lot of damage. Luckily for me, I took no damage, but I still trained like an athlete from special operations. I was still working out with coaches. I was still doing, I still kept my body together during that time and really training. But I didn't fight. So now I'm kind of coming into this mature level where I'm turning 30 this week, actually. My birthday party today, but I'm turning 30 this week. And I'm more mature. And I have, thank you, man. And I have like all of that, mentality and everything. I'm just really coming into my prime with a fresh body. And I don't have a wear and tear on me. I'm really coming into my prime, and I feel like It's just like I got a big edge on everybody. So I think it's gonna be a fast rise for me, honestly.
You know, and you're getting ready to do this fight night, right? As I wear your shirt right here, you know, with you throwing your punch. This is a great art rendition of you, by the way. I think that you should have props to the person that designed this.
Shout out to my uncle.
Yeah, to your uncle for
Shout out to my uncle. My uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
He sent me that for free. He designed it. He's like computer design and graphic design. He designed it. He sent it over, and he's like, "Hey, you like this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm making shirts of that right away. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Lucked out, man."
And also, you have a shop, right? I want to pitch it because the money helps you go to the fights and to like get your tickets and to get travel. What is the shop? The Controller MMA? Tell me.
Yeah, so controllermma.com. So there's no V, but it's just controllermma.com. I got a website. Go in there, check out my – I got bios about me, but I also have my shirts on there. I got four different shirts out right now. We always try to get the best quality for – like I'm a big believer in like – and I think I got this from the military and special operations, stuff like that. Just buy good quality stuff.
So much.
It's going to be worth it. People are going to think where. You buy something cheap and try to screw somebody over, even if it's cost more money, always buy the best stuff.
It's always so worth it.
It's always worth it.
When we went over to Remembrance Rumble in London, when we went to London, Brandon Webb had Soft Rep make a bunch of shirts for us. And I was like, oh, these are so soft and so comfortable, those Soft Rep shirts. I had my own shirts made out of the same shirts. I was like, I'll be damned. And this is that same soft, next level style shirt. I'm not going to like sit here and fanboy over it, but I'm wearing it. I slept in it already.
Exactly. Stay Zero sent me this shirt. It's the same thing. So it's like when I went to same thing. We used to go to like shooting schools all the time when I was in the military. And we go welded, and usually at the end of the school, you get a shirt from like the school you just went to. And all the guys always had like these nice shirts. And I was like, you wear them all the time because I'm like, it's just comfortable for me to work out. So I'm gonna wear this shirt. And then it's like, you know, it's good for me to get my name, get everything out there. You know, so. Been lucky.
Only special request for Rad is if you make special shirts for us bearded folks, maybe a little lower on the print so we don't block it. But listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to wear this over to London. I'm going to go see Big Phil, dude.
I need to get a shirt for Big Phil out there. But I agree. We need to lower the thing on the next. That's going to happen in the next year. We had that discussion.
Oh, yeah, because you know that we're sending them over for soft.
We need to make bearded shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just really low.
Right? Just a little lower.
Yes.
Yeah. We exist. I swear. And, you know, again, I'm going to take this. I'm going over to London with my wife to show her the sights. Like, we got to go see with Soft Rep when we did those Remembrance Rumbles, which I think those guys are going to do another one. So you might want to keep your ear to the ground and come in and still maybe do a little 1-2-1-2 tap dance if you can.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm down to do it. We'll see if the UFC will be happy about me doing another fight outside the UFC. But if I can, and if anything, I would love to go there and just be a guest or a commentator. Maybe hop into the theater.
Oh, that would be great, dude. We could be back to back, bro. We could be like, did I just say that? You'll be like, yes, Rad, you did.
That would be real fun. I'd love to do something like that. I'm doing actually commentating for a local promotion that I grew up fighting, Cage Titans, which is around here. And I'm commentating this weekend. I'm cornering a guy in my fight, and then I'm hopping in the booth and I'm commentating the fight. So
do you know the guy's name?
Cool. I like to do that stuff.
You want
to
give him a shout out?
Yeah, my fighter Andrew Valdina, good up-and-coming fighter, is coming up. He's come a long way in the last year. I've been coaching him for his striking, so it's kind of cool. Now I'm doing that as well. I opened up a new gym.
Yeah, I saw that.
Proving grounds. So now I'm kind of like getting got like my girlfriend's a fighter, and this kid Andrew Valdina is a good fighter. And I'm like working with them, and it's been pretty cool. It's like I said this the other day. It's always been my dream to own a martial arts gym and be a professional MMA fighter. So I want to be in the UFC, but like my gym open now, and then my next I got my gym open now. And now my next goal is to get in the UFC, and if I accomplish both those things, it's like I looked at an interview from when I was 18, and that's what I said in the interview, and I was like, shit, this is actually coming true now. So you know, stick to things you love to do, and no,
I believe in you, bro. I do. Hey, you have a Instagram too. It's the Controller MMA, right? On your Instagram.
Yep, Controller MMA. That's probably where I am the most active. So if anybody ever wants to hop on there, give me a follow. I post there a lot. I don't use Facebook too much. I don't know why. I think it's just as down. I'm a picture guy.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I like Instagram. I think that.
You know, you're probably good at so many things in combat controller, you know, pipeline, the toughest thing was what for you?
I would say the toughest thing for me was academics. And air traffic control schools specifically, I think that's where I had my biggest challenge. But once I got through that, I mean, everything else, like anything that was practical, like tactics, shooting. For some reason, dive school, I didn't have any academic problems. I like, thought dive school was easy. Just, yeah, probably air traffic control, the speaking and learning the language of being an air traffic controller was a little bit challenging for me at first. Like I said, I had no idea what air traffic controller was before I joined it. So when I hopped in, I had like a little learning curve. Yeah. And then once I got it down, I knew I had to get good at it, you know, especially when I deployed. So I got it down really well and really good. And I used it when I was deployed. I used it a ton. So it was really cool.
Did you just up-train on like a portable radar and just stare at a computer and be like, Delta 357, you're clear, 372.
We did have to do radar when I was, they don't have to do that anymore.
Okay.
So you have radar air traffic control, then you have terminal air traffic control, which is like a tower. So they're you know, they're two different styles.
The thing, the big spinning thing is the tower.
Yeah, exactly. So when we did terminal air space control. So like a lot of times when we went to air traffic control school, we had to do this stuff where you're landing C-130s or landing planes on the airstrip and doing air traffic controls all around the airstrip. And when we deploy, that's a lot of time what we do. So, but we did have like these, can't think of the words.
Simulations.
Training simulator. There we go. Yeah. We used to use simulators that we used to use in our units that were pretty cool. So we could hop in there and get work or practice. And then you had like an old time combat controller in there that was like, you know, teaching you techniques and stuff that you would use. So we can get trained up. Once you get on TV, you get really trained up and you get good at it before you go out there and do the job. So,
did you ever get the opportunity? PJs go into like the ER to like work on people, you know, as they perfect their skill. Did you get to go to the air traffic controller airport and like do your thing with?
When I was deployed, I did have like a scenario where they brought in, somebody got shot on the battlefield, and then the PJs came, and then I flew in a transload the helicopter where the guy got shot into a C-130. So I did all the air traffic control to get that going. So I actually was in the helicopter from where the guy got shot, brought him in, got up, brought a C-130 in to land, got the guy out of there. So I did get to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's like what you're trained
for.
That
was cool. Yeah, I get to use my job with PJs, and like that's how you said that would make sense for people, how like PJs and controllers can work together. It's a good scenario where like, you know, somebody shot, we need to get this guy out of the air traffic controller, the combat controller jumps on the mic, gets all the air going, and the PJ's working the guy and get the guy out of there. So yeah, that did happen when I was deployed.
You're the key to the team, because I think that you would jump on with like a SEAL team or a task force team or an A team or an ODA, a Green Beret Operation Detachment.
Yeah.
You're with all of those guys. You're there. Hey, how you doing, Connor? Can we have you?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. If you get on any team, you have to be a big asset to the team. You have to bring something to the fight that other people don't bring. And we definitely are the, you know, when it comes to attachment team, being the radio guy, I mean, we're going to be the best. We're already air traffic controllers, so we know how to, you know, separate aircrafts. So if you got a combat controller and get a JTAC certified, I wasn't JTAC certified when I was deployed, because I got the opportunity to get with the team that with the JTAC. So, you know what I mean? If you're bringing in air, you know, if you're already good at air traffic control, you're going to be a good JTAC, you know what I mean? And you're going to be a big asset to the team, no matter what, communications too. So combat controllers, like, a lot of our job is knowing radios and setting up the team's frequencies and making sure everybody's on the same page and doing the communication so that, you know, we can talk in our team, and then we can be the guy who's talking to the aircraft. That's bringing in drones, you know, the Eye in the Sky, like ISR platforms for those guys who are, you know, bringing in ISR. We're talking to ISR platforms. We're talking to fast mover jets. We're talking to Apache helicopters, AC-130s. A-10, on any given battle, and you know what I mean? There's so many different aircraft checking in and on from the fight, and so it's really important to have a combat controller there too.
I have a guy that does that.
Especially if he's already air traffic, makes sense.
So. Like he does chaos? You ever hear that term, chaos? A friend of mine here, he does chaos. He's a part of the chaos culture where they go out and handle all the air traffic control chaos of, I don't know, Chaos. That's their call. That's their name. Their squadron's name is Chaos, you know? So I can only imagine needing to listen to everybody flying over you.
yeah, it can get chaotic. I mean, but you know what? A lot of these pilots are very good in the military too, so they help out a lot when you're over there and talk to pilots and stuff like that. But yeah, it can get very chaotic, and you know, it's and there's a lot of money and lives on the line. So it's like you can't mess up. You know what I mean? You can't. Right. You can't bring a plane in when there's a plane in the runway and you clear the land and they crash into another plane and then you just kill a whole bunch of people. So it's like there's things like that that happen, you know what I mean? So it's like it's very important, you know, it's high risk. Are you dropping a bomb through where you have a helicopter in and then F-15 or drops a bomb and there's a helicopter near the area? You know, there's a lot of things like separation that can really go wrong. So it's very important. You have some guys trained up to know to do. Or dropping a bomb on your own guy.
Yeah, you don't need that.
That stuff has happened.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
So if you're getting the call to go in and seize an airfield, right, or create an airfield or whatever that airfield needs to be,
yeah,
what would you do? Like if there's a team of six or seven of you going in together to assess an airfield area, you know, you got to do like the grading. Tell me, what's you?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there's multiples. Like this, first of all, the combat controller, we're the jack of all trades. There's a lot of different mission sets that we can do. So we can do like, say there's a salt lake bed out in the middle of the desert and you want to do a mission that's to a compound or to something that's close to that salt lake bed, right? So what we can do there, we can go there ahead of time, we can land, we can, you know, say we wanted to jump in, or anyway we can get there to jump in. So we wanted to jump in, do a complete assessment of the airfield, find out, like, make sure the soil, the ground is all dense enough for an aircraft to come in so it can bear the load and land and take off and sit on the ground. So we have to get out there, you know, assess how long, is there enough room? Is it not bumpy? Is the soil good? Is there any, you know, any hazards in the area to make sure that's good? So we do all that. And then if it's good, okay, now we have to set up the airfield. So we set up the airfield, so we have to know about, you know, dimensions of the aircraft, what aircraft can land on it, you know what I mean? Then we can do the air traffic control, they actually bring the plane in, land the plane, and then we can go and do the mission. Sometimes, like, you know, and then also if they say we take contact, and then we have to have, like, you know, we call in the airstrikes. There's so many different things that we can do as a combat controller.
Wow,
never mind just being a site. Like, probably the easier part, not easier, but like one of the parts of the job is just being on the team to call in the airstrikes is like the most fun part of it. But there's a lot of other stuff that we do that's out there, like, you know, making sure that the airfields are good.
You're probably riding on four-wheelers. You're probably getting cool doom buggies. You're probably
all the different
GPS not on your finger.
Yeah,
we probably have like all sorts of crazy stuff that's just behind the scenes.
Yeah, just knowing. So a lot of times we make, like, if they're on teams, attached to teams, we make the I can't think of the word right now. Wow, it's been too much. But anyways, we're tracking like we're making all the GRGs. There we go. Making all the GRGs. So it's making all the we're labeling everything where the bombs are going to be dropped and doing all that stuff ahead of time. And then vehicles, like we get on the airfield, we need to know how to drive dirt bikes. We need to know how to drive four-wheelers. We have ATV. We have to do all these, because when you're cruising around an airfield, you're not walking.
No.
You're cruising. It's just take too long.
You know, I was going to say.
Dirt bikes, do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because like that runway has to be super, yeah.
So a six-man team could do it. Depending on what the time MAC is, you know what I mean, how long it's going to take. Like a six-man team, you could get down there, clear an airfield, make sure it's good to bring in airplanes, land in airplanes, do air traffic control, provide security around, taxi. You could do that all with like a six-man combat control team. You know what I mean? Or it could be one controller attached to a SEAL team or ODA calling airstrikes.
Wow, that's really awesome, dude. I mean, it's just like, that's amazing. It's just another world that, you know, you're a unicorn. And, you know, when you get to talk to a unicorn, you kind of want to know what's the unicorn eating. And,
yeah,
you know, and how much ruck weight do you put in your rucksack when you train yourself? Do you go the full weight or do you just skimp it? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, but you guys go the full weight.
We definitely, so like in training, yeah, well, in training, we definitely had to carry a lot of weight because we are always carrying more gear than everybody else. We like to say, you know what I mean? Like, we're carrying tons of radios, like we have a Gulf 117 on us, and that carries like four different radios, mags, weapons, everything we need to be able to set up an airfield too. Sometimes those extra lights and extra, all this crazy weird stuff that we need to do, not just our combat load, you know what I mean? So that we always think about, we need to carry more than everybody else when we're in training. So when we get there and do the job, though.
I bet those are some cool lights. Those are some cool portable lights, bro. I'd love those for some airsoft war games out in the desert night. It's like, there's some lights right there. Those are probably small and compact and easy to port and portable.
You'd think that. I feel like the lights we always have are big. I don't know. You're like, why can't you make these things smaller? You say that now. They are probably small and little compared to what other people have. But like, then you're like, you're bringing out like, oh, these lights are so big. I don't know why we can't find any smaller lights.
Right.
You want everything to be smaller and more combat by the time you know what I mean?
Just like throwing discs out and they just autonomously land at where you need them to. You know, that'd be great. Just send out the drones with lights and land them along the runway.
Like, why can't I just go to an area, take a drone, push a button, all the drones fly up, they mark the aircraft, they mark the airfield, then I'm just good to go. And then I go clear to land.
Correct.
That's how easy it was.
Because that would be a lot of help right there. That'd be like drones up.
Yeah, I don't need a whole team of people to go out there and put the stuff down everywhere.
Right, and if a drone got shot down, you would know they're coming from over there, and it wasn't a person.
I'm telling you, that's what's up.
Well, drones are a good feature.
We should start a building equipment contracts with the military.
We'll just call it My Little Pony. They'll never know. Mattel made M16s. No one will ever figure it out. No one will ever know. No one will ever know. We'll make little dinosaurs. Well, Connor, I just want to say it's been a real pleasure to have you on, and I know there's so much more that we could talk about. And you're going on The Contender. Is there a date and time when we can tune in for that? Do you know that yet?
Yep, I will be fighting August 2nd in Las Vegas on Tuesday night. So, you know, it's not a lot of people like to throw people off. Oh, it's Connor fighting on a Saturday. You usually are Saturday. It's a Tuesday night. So the Contender Series, for those people that don't know, it's not the UFC yet, but Dana White will be there. It's called Dana White's Contender Series. He's the president owner of the UFC. And if he's there to give out contracts. So usually they only have four fights in the night. Not a lot of fans. There's like, you know, a couple fans around. There's not a lot, though. And it's like a job interview, the way I like to. It's like
the scouts.
It's still going to be streamed. Exactly. It's just still going to be streamed on ESPN Plus. And I'm fighting to put on a show for a contract to be in the UFC. So, yeah, I'm excited. going to be another one of my teammates, Billy Goff, not teammates, but a guy from New England who trains. He's going to be fighting in the same night as me, so it's pretty cool to represent somebody from the local area.
Another Massachusetts, but, New England.
Yeah, I'm super. Yeah, exactly. I love it, man. I love this sport. I'm actually getting to do. My dreams are coming true. I really feel like that, and I'm going to go out there and put on a show for everybody. I got a lot in the bag that people haven't seen yet, so I train with the best, and I'm going to go out there and put on a show for everybody.
That's right. And if I'm guessing, you're in like the 145 weight class. Is that right? What's your weight class?
Yep, 145. Yeah, that's what's up. My featherweight division. So it's a stacked division in the UFC. So I got a lot of work to do once I get there.
Yeah, there's
Max
a lot of
Holloway, Brian Ortega.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of 145.
A lot of big names.
A lot of 145s. There's a lot of 145s.
Conor McGregor came up with the 145 division. So.
Oh, yeah, dude. I have my faith is on you, though. You're the controller, bro. And I believe in you. I've stood next to you shoulder to shoulder, no matter if you're 5'8 and I'm 6'5. It don't matter. Shoulder to shoulder, eye to eye, bro. So, you know, you say what you are. I say I'm too tall. You say you're 5'8. You're not tall enough. Bro, you're doing it. Okay? So you're perfect to us. And I just want to say thanks for being a part of the Soft Rep family, the Soft Rep Mafia. And, you know, if you're ever looking for someone to help sponsor you out there, I'm sure that Soft Rep would love to hear this and maybe attach to you in some way or shape, you know. And if there's ever
absolutely, I don't go ahead. So I was gonna say absolutely, man. Whenever Soft Rep, like from that time on when I was younger and I did that boxing event out in London, that kind of reinvigorated my whole passion for fighting a little bit. It just kind of brought me back. So I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if it wasn't for Soft Rep. I think in a lot of ways, like we were talking about that earlier, meet some people and you didn't know how that kind of changed the trajectory of your life right then. And I think Soft Rep was one of those people that did that. That group, that organization, did that for me. So thank you guys for everything that you guys done for me to this point. And I'm going to keep on representing, you know.
And I agree.
Forever, man. Appreciate
it. And I love it. I love it. Now, listen, Connor, one more thing. I'm going to have to just be selfish. I know you got a lot of friends and family, but there's just one rad in your life, and that's me. And if for some reason or some way or shape there's a fight, and you can sit me at your table, I will cheer you on, bro, and I will be there for you. And if you can get me into one of these big boy fights,
I would love to have you there.
You just make sure you put Rad on that list, and I will show up. I promise, dude. And we will do more of these together, and we can talk spec ops. We could talk MMA. We could talk, you know, endurance and mental toughness, because you're a great dude, and I just want you to stay on the right path and just keep it up. And I'm going to go ahead and just close out the show right now, Connor, because we've had a great segment. And for those of you, you're very welcome. And those of you that have been listening, it's Connor the Controller Matthews. You go to controllermma.com to help him get his merch sold so that he can get money to go and do these events and travel. We're going to watch you on August 2nd on The Contender, and we're going to be rooting for you in Las Vegas. And, you know, do you have anything to close out with, bro?
Nothing off the top of my head. That's why you guys appreciate everything. And happy Memorial Day to everyone out there who sacrificed their lives and are family members of those people. Like, my prayers and thoughts go to you. And, you know, it's a hard weekend for some of us. You know, it's a fun weekend because you can breathe out barbecue and have it. But, like, it does bring back a lot of memories. So to all those who died, came before me, dedicated my next fight to my three friends who died, George Hernandez, Dylan Elgin, and Cole Condit. Three combat controllers that died that I went through training with. So, you know, by part of what I'm doing right now is representing what they did and keeping their memories alive. So,
I love that. I love that. And we will keep their memories alive too. We'll write about them in the article below the post of this video just to keep their name on the internet as well, posthumously, okay? And so I just want you to know, I appreciate you. Yeah, you keep flexing that Massachusetts. I'm going to start getting motivated by you to go work out myself, okay? And I just want to say thank you for listening to Soft Rep Radio, this episode with Connor the Controller Matthews. My name is Rad, and I'm going to say peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.